Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 21. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 6, and verse 21. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 6, and verse 21. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. These words are found among the precious words that the dear Lord Jesus spoke as he preached to his dear disciples. And you know, where the Lord Jesus spoke, there were some blessed things that were to flow from it. And not just in what he said, but with the gracious power that was to accompany it. We read, don't we, the wise man said that where the word of a king is, there is power. And this is what made those words that Jesus spoke himself of such great importance, because they were with such power. Secondly, there was always with what he said divine authority. He spake as one that had authority. He had the authority of heaven to set forth the blessed truth. But thirdly, there was always a sacred savour with what he said. You know, it's a wonderful thing. There was a blessed savour with the word of God. And when the Lord speaks it to his dear children, they know the sweet savour of it. But then, too, when he spoke, there was such love in it. Not just love to his dear children, but though that was the wonderful part of it, the love that he said as he spoke to them, there was love in it. But too, he even spoke lovingly to his enemies. There was never found any malice in the precious Son of God. We read, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But too, there was the blessed application of the word. You know, we may apply this word or that word, a man may by nature to this person or that, but you see, it will not have any gracious effect. But when the Saviour speaks, he so applies that word to his dear children. We think of it particularly how it was manifested in the case of Lazarus. Lazarus come forth, and what happened? He came forth immediately. With Jairus, his daughter, made arise, and she arose straightway. Such was the application of the word. And when he spoke healing to those that were sick and afflicted, immediately because of the application of it, there was that coming out of the affliction and the trouble. Well, much could be said further. But here we have this word, and it seemed to so rest upon me late last night. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. You know, the other Gospels speak of it, blessed are ye that hunger. But Luke, in his wonderful way, adds the word now. Now, I want to look at that in a few ways as how. Firstly, it indicates that they didn't always hunger as they do now. And could it not be said concerning you and me that we didn't always hunger like we do now? You see, he could look back, the Saviour, over their past life, these dear disciples, and nothing was hid from him. How they were servants of Satan. But now, they didn't just hunger for time things. They hungered for the Lord. And there was this vast difference between what they had been and what they were now. Blessed are ye that hunger now. Now, to bring it home to us, could it be said of you and of me this? We now hunger for the truth as it is in Jesus, that we didn't once do, but we do now. And who has made the difference? Well, it's the Lord's work, you see. The time comes when it will be now that you have to hunger and thirst for the truth as it is in Jesus. The appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace. Blessed are ye that hunger now. And, you know, there are times where we desire the blessing now, isn't it? Well, let's use this, drops into one's mind, so I will name it. You take a little babe. That mother may think, well, it's feeding time for the babe, and yet it's fast asleep. And she may leave it to sleep for a little season. And then it wakes itself and it immediately hungers now because the appetite is there, you see. The hunger is there. It's now, it needs the feeding. It cries till it's fed. It hungers. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. I often think, you know, when we sit down to a meal, what a blessing it is to have an appetite. And many in deep afflictions, and some of us know what it is, where we have had no appetite at all, even naturally, for food. It's a wonderful thing, a gift which God gives to, like to the little babe when he gives life. To that little babe, he gives it the appetite. Immediately wants the breast. Immediately needs feeding. It hungers. But you see, I want to look at this in two ways, really. Firstly, regarding these dear disciples, naturally, they were to walk now, as he anointed them, to go forth in his holy name and to declare the whole counsel of God. They were going to walk in a path they'd not done before. Now this was a completely different path they got to tread. And it may be with some of us. You know, there comes the time where we have to walk a completely different path than what we've had to walk before. It's now. The change, you see, may be of circumstance. It may be in providence. And it is now. And these dear disciples, you see, they'd known their occupation of fishermen and Matthew at the receipt of custom, but now he called them from it all and they got to do as he commanded them, to be ministers, fishers of men, rather than fishers of fish. It was a completely different circumstance, what they were having to walk in. And there are times when it's like that with the Lord's dear people. So look at it firstly in providence and regarding their lives. It's like when David was to be taken home to glory and he had it in his heart to build the temple, but the Lord told him he should not build it because he was a man of blood and a man of war, but Solomon should build it. And what do we read? That beautiful word now, you see, and now, my son, the Lord be with thee and prosper thou in building the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. It was a completely different life for Solomon and for David. And it may be, and I don't know why I hadn't thought of taking this line at all this afternoon, but you see, there are times, and like those that venture into marriage or into courtship, you see, there's a venturing now, and it is a completely different path. They got to walk it together. And what a mercy that is if the poor sinner not only walks the path alone, we know there are many places you have to come into alone, but with the Lord with us, in it. You see, when the two journeyed to Emmaus that I named this morning, you know, the Lord drew near and went with them. The whole journey changed by his sweet presence going with them. It was now they needed the Lord. Now, let us just pause on this word now. It may be in a certain matter today you need the Lord now. And there are circumstances where we come, Lord, thou must appear now, and we need it now, because it's such urgency. It really follows on from this morning. Mine's an urgent, pressing case. Think of dear old Jacob. But we looked at the prayer meeting, faced with that army of Esau. He needed the Lord to appear now, didn't he? And then, of course, we think of that beautiful word, and I think it's in the Epistle of Jude, where he says, now. Oh, that beautiful word, now. And we think of how sweetly the Lord enabled dear Jude to declare that precious word. Now unto him. Now unto him. That is able to keep you from falling. The devil may be tempting you this way and tempting you that way. You fear you're going to fall. And now. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now this present time, you see, and forever. Amen. But let us look a little at this hunger. Much could be said on this beautiful word now, but blessed are ye that hunger now. You see, not only were these dear disciples to come into places, they were going to come into places where they would hunger, looking at it naturally. They weren't going to have the income they'd had in days past. There would be times, and the Lord didn't promise these dear disciples an easy path, did he? They were going to hunger. You think of many of our godly forefathers, many that walked in the fear of the Lord through this chapel and are now in glory, but how, you know, they had to pray for their daily bread continually, didn't they? Oh, they did. And these dear disciples did. And really, if we pause a moment here, you know, this was the path the Saviour trod. Oh, he did. He knew what it was to hunger. Oh, he did. It was verily man. What did he say on one occasion? The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He knew what it was of times of hunger. But the wonderful thing was here, he promised them that he would fill them, didn't he? And you think of Elijah. I've often mentioned it at the brook Cherith. The dear man hunger, but the Lord knew what his hunger was. And the Lord sent the ravens to feed him. And then when the brook dried up, he goes to Zarephath. There I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain them. When I first took the pastorate at Ashwell, things were hard. We got to... young family, a big mortgage to pay, and it was hard going. I don't say that in any wrong way. But you know, the Lord on one occasion spoke this to me. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain me. And you know, this dear widow woman lived in Kent. The Lord showed me who it was. And every little while, an envelope would come through the post, and in it a little letter from her, saying, "The Lord has showed me that I should sustain you." And you know, it was so humbling. It was always in times of need. And there it would drop through the letterbox, and there was always money in it, every time. And you know, it really humbled me. You see, the Lord will ever fulfill his promise. Now we know we don't want just a providential religion, but providence and grace unite. When the Lord's people have need, the hymn writer said, his goodness will find out a way. I didn't have to tell any man or tell this dear lady, but you know, it was so wonderful. I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. And you see, the Lord fulfilled it. Oh, he did. And she didn't die until the Lord had brought us out into a wealthier place. And you know, you see, nothing is too... I know I'd not thought of naming that, but I use that as a simple illustration, you see. These dear disciples, they were to know hunger. And you know, if it's when we are hungry naturally, we need food, don't we? like the little babe I named earlier. It cries because it's hungry. It needs food. It needs to be filled. And think about it, and I don't know what your condition is, what you may be walking in today, but you think of this. There's one side, there's the hunger. The other side, the wonderful supply of the Lord. He says here, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Ye shall be filled. Oh, what a promise, isn't it? And these dear disciples, you know, they were to go through their ministry and their walk in the fear of the Lord, preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ, and the Lord was to fill them. Even in a providential way, in a natural way, they weren't to left to perish, were they? But then there's the spiritual side to it. Blessed are ye that hunger now. How do you come up to the house of God? How do I? Do we come up hungry? You know, the old ministers in our early days used to so often say, well, the people make us preach because there's such an appetite in them. They draw the word out and it's life and power and food to their hungry souls. And you know, these are the characters we long for the Lord to fill the seats in the sanctuary. Those that really hunger and thirst for the truth, as it is in Jesus. And oh, when there's that hunger, you see, we need food, don't we? Spiritual food. And only the Lord can give it. And he's promised here, and may it be of comfort to your soul, for ye, this is personal, shall be filled. Ye shall be filled. Do you know what it is when the Lord has filled you? Oh, we look back in those early days and the Lord gave us such a hunger for the truth. And you know, it used to be so in my heart, Lord, we want to go up to the house of God to receive something for our souls. And when I was exercised concerning joining the church and following the Lord, you know, I had such a hunger for the truth. And I used to try and go to the house of God every day of the week. Such was the hunger. And you know, you look back at those days and you think of the times we came out of the sanctuary just full. What full, what with? Full of the love of Christ. Full of his mercy. Full of the blessing of pardon. Full of the blessing of peace. Oh, it's so sacred and humbling when the Lord fills the sinner. Think of the dear woman in the following chapter, in chapter 7, that went into the house of Simon the Pharisee. She went in there hungering for mercy. Hungering for pardon. Hungering for the Lord to abundantly fill her with the riches of his grace. And how did she go home? Pardon was signed. Pardon was secured. Pardon blessed in her soul. She went home full of all the goodness and mercy of her God. Blessed are ye that hunger now. So there's a wonderful prospect for these hungry souls. Oh, there is. They shall be filled. They won't be left empty. It's like the woman when the creditor came to take away her sons. You see, those vessels she had to borrow, abroad of all thy neighbours, even empty vessels. You see, they got to be empty for the oil to fill, to be poured in to fill them. The flesh doesn't like being emptied. But you know, it's a good place when we're empty, because then the Lord can fill us. Why do we hunger naturally? Because the stomach is empty. He wants filling. And how satisfying it is when you can be filled, isn't it? A good meal naturally fills the sinner. But think about it spiritually. Oh, to be filled. But then, with this hunger, you see, the world hungers for the earth, it hungers for sport, it hungers for pleasure, it hungers for the things of this earth. And that's how we are in our old nature. But you know, where there's a life in the soul, there'll be this hunger, and it'll want the pure truth and nothing but the truth. As it is in Jesus, that pure truth. What can feed the soul? Well, let us just look at it in a little way. Firstly, feeding upon his word. Hungering for the word. And when the Lord gives it, what did it do? It fills you. Oh, it does. And when there's a hungering for mercy, what will satisfy and fill this soul? When the Lord gives them the abundance of his mercy, like he did the publican. He was full of the mercy of God. He went to his house justified rather than the other. And when sin hangs heavy on your poor soul and you're hungering for pardon, and the Lord gives you a taste of his pardoning love, oh, how you're soon filled with that sweet pardon of his love. Blessed place, isn't it? But then, oh, is there not a hungering for a precious Christ? Oh, a hungering for him. Why? Because you're so helpless, so poor, so wretched, so vile. Lord, do come. And you hunger for his appearing. And when he does appear, oh, how sacred and blessed it is, isn't it? And you feel your soul filled with his love and mercy and goodness. And then there's a hungering for his sufferings, to know that he suffered, bled and died for your poor soul and mine. Oh, what a sacred place, you know, to be found in. It's not pleasing to the flesh to be hungry, is it? But it is to the soul, really, because it's these souls the Lord's going to fill. And then, oh, to hunger, to know that we are among his children. Hunger to know that he suffered, bled and died for us. Oh, I think of that beautiful word the apostle spoke to the Galatians. What did he say? Who loved me and gave himself for me. And if the Lord sweetly whisper that to you, poor soul, it'll fill you. Gave himself for me. And you know, when we're full, it's then we can speak of how, like when you've had a good meal, you can really speak how nice and pleasant and precious it was to us and nourishing to us. And think about it spiritually. It's then we can tell the sinners round what a dear Saviour we have found when he's filled us. Well, let me use an illustration of it. Well, it's two really. It comes to one mind. First of all, look at David in Psalm 23. I thought about it in doing the obituary of our dear friend the other week. And he put this. And now it was very sweet. My cup runneth over. And when he was in the hospital, you know, under that deep affliction, the operation there that followed, and you know, he could say when the Lord brought him out, my cup runneth over. And the Lord so appeared and filled him, his cup ran over. And you see, when our cup runs over of our souls, we can speak of it, can't we? We can tell of it. David could. You read through the Psalms, and many Psalms where he was in the depths of trouble and the depths of darkness, depths of sorrow. But you think of those blessed Psalms where he sings forth the praises of his God. Why? Because the Lord had filled him. Oh, may we know what it is to be filled. But there must be this hunger first. And then you can think of Naphtali, you see, satisfied with favour and full of the blessing of the Lord. And you know, when the Lord comes to bless his dear people, he'll fill them. Jacob was filled, wasn't he, when the Lord blessed him there. And then we can tell the sinners round what a dear Saviour we have found. And point to his redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. Oh, may there be many. We bless the Lord. There are few in this dark day that know what it is to be filled. And it's when the Lord fills his people, then the churches will be filled. There will be that blessed desire to tell what great things he hath done for us. Like with Legion, really, wasn't it? The Lord wonderfully cast out the legion of devils and brings him to the feet of Jesus. And what did Jesus say to him? Go home to thy friends and tell what great things God hath done unto thee. He got something to tell them, didn't he? Because the Lord had filled him. He'd emptied him of all the devils, but he'd filled him with all his grace and love. Well, much further could be said on that. Let us just have a brief word on the second part. Blessed are ye that weep now. That weep now. Of course, many sermons could be preached on this weeping, but weep now. There are occasions, you see, where the Lord will bring his dear people where they have to weep. Weep over their sin. Weep over the darkness they're walking in. Weep over the burdens that they carry. Weep over the low state of Zion. Weep because the Lord is silent. Now, as he speaks this to these dear disciples, this is what they got to walk through in their future pathway as they go forth to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. It wasn't going to be always the many would say Christian believers as they say they are. Oh, it'll be a life of ease and peace. But Jesus didn't say that, did he? It says, blessed are they that weep now, for they shall laugh, for they shall laugh. And it may be there are those things that are making you weep now. They may be just between your heart and the Lord. Not even your nearest and dearest may know what they really are which you weep over. And you're weeping now. But there's a promise, you see, given by the Saviour himself as he tells them what they got to walk through. For ye shall laugh. You may say, well, will the day ever come when I will? Well, think of those precious promises in the psalms. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I saw a dear lady not very long ago now, and she said to me, you know, you've never forgot, have you, what you, I've never forgot what you preached from at Matfield Good Friday. And she said the year, and it was this: weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. She said, I was walking in it. And she said, you preached exactly what I was in. But she said, before I left the sanctuary, he gave me that faith to believe I would have the joy. And she said, the Lord gave it to me. You see, what he says will never return void, poor soul. And if he says to you, you weep now, but ye shall laugh, the day will come when you will. And that won't be just outward laughing, not like the world does, or man does by nature. It's inward rejoicing over the joy the Lord has given you. And you can laugh at Satan. And you can, and I say this lovingly and reverently and rightly, you can laugh at the world and you can laugh about your sin, because the sin has all been removed. Now, I want you to take that rightly. There's no way, naturally speaking, that the child of God will want to laugh in a wrong way about their sin. It grieves the soul. But when the Lord removes all that sin, what it really means here is he'll turn that weeping into joy. Oh, yes. Blessed are ye that weep now. And then, of course, there's that beautiful word in the Psalms that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And then you think of dear Mary Magdalene. Oh, the weeping in the garden. Her Saviour being taken, crucified, laid in the tomb. But he'd risen. And as we come to this sacred season of the year, may we know a little of the joy that she knew when he spoke to her. And it wasn't a volume of words, was it? Mary. In it was everything that she needed. It turned all her weeping into joy. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Now they're the words of the Saviour. Ye shall laugh. Satan will tempt and try the child of God and cause them to weep much. He laughs, but the day will come where he'll be put down forever. There'll be no laughing in hell. It'll be eternal misery, eternal banishment. And oh, think of the great need of being among these characters in our text, and then I must leave it. He says, blessed are ye. That hunger, and blessed are ye that weep. That means they're blessed with eternal blessings. They're chosen, elect children of God. Blessed characters in the sight of the Lord. Precious in his sight. And because they're so precious in his sight, he will fulfill what he has said here. Love with an everlasting love they are. Blessed are ye that weep, that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. And blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh, ye shall laugh. Look at the, in conclusion, the blessed certainty in this. The old preachers used to say they loved eternal certainties. Well, this is what it is, an eternal certainty. And it's not my word, it wasn't Luke's word, it was the Saviour's word to his dear people, to his dear disciples. And if we are disciples of the Lord, the blessing will be ours. Well, that's that side of it. But the glory will belong to the Lord. It's all his work, the wonders God alone can do.